Thank you, Massimo, for being here with us today.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're talking a couple of weeks in advance of the February meeting of the heads of bishops conferences from around the world gathering at the Vatican to discuss the sex abuse crisis. I guess a lot of us are wondering, what should we expect of this, if anything?
Well, in these last few weeks, the Vatican has consistently tried to downplay expectations and tell people that big changes, big breakthroughs shouldn't be expected. This is something Francis said on the in-flight press conference coming back from Panama. So this is the communication strategy, I would say. On the other hand, there has been, I would say, an interesting effort to keep the public updated in terms of the preparation, because we know that at the end of 2018, a committee for the preparation of this meeting has been announced, and they are names that are interesting because two of them, especially the Archbishop of Malta and the Jesuit the psychiatrist who teaches at the Gregorian University in Rome and who's the president of the Center for Child Protection, they are top experts. So this will not be about church politics. It will be about experts trying to create a new level of awareness in terms of urgency of the problem and in terms of what the universal church expects of every local church in terms of the prevention, in terms of the accompaniment of the victims, and in terms of seeking justice for those who have been abused. So this is what we know so far.
Okay. I guess I'm just following up on the idea that this is different because experts will be given airtime. You know, how much of this expertise might actually get through and get out to the public or even to the folks who are gathered there? You know, I don't mean to be sort of cynical or skeptical, I suppose, but it seems dubious in some ways.
Well, that's what we think here in the United States. Actually, being in the U.S. gives us and gives me also a distorted impression. First, because here the attention of the media and of Catholics has been much higher than anywhere else. And this is not the situation in the Vatican or in many other churches where the situation, this crisis, is not seen as urgent as it is here. Second is that we tend to think that this is an old crisis, starts in the 1980s, 1990s, Boston, 2002, and then last year. So it's time to do things because we know what the problem is. This happens to be not true. For example, I have been contacted by a group of international experts to be part of a research project on the abuse crisis. And I asked them, I'm sure you have a bibliography of the literature on the abuse crisis. And they said no. And this is typical. So here there has been much more work done in terms of investigation by attorney generals and the secular justice than in terms of research. So that's why I think bringing experts is something that's needed, because we tend to think that there is a problem just of inaction or of cover-up. There's also a problem of not connecting what the experts know with what those who have power in the church can do. This seems absurd after so many years, but if this is true for the Western world, you can imagine how true this is for countries in Africa or Asia. So here there is really a real urgent issue of connecting the experts that have expertise in the phenomenon psychologically, anthropologically, religiously, and those who have power to change policies or implement them. This seems very strange, but this is what I have seen personally in meeting with experts and what they tell me about their exchange with bishops that are in other countries.
That leads me to a different question, I think, Massimo. And I maybe want to kind of turn around the formulation or the lens you're looking through at the moment. What are the particularly American aspects of the crisis that influence how it is understood globally? Is the rest of the world paying attention to the way American Catholics are paying attention to it? Or what do they think? What do they think about the way American Catholics are paying attention to the crisis?
Well, so certainly Catholics in other countries are paying attention to the way Catholics in this country are dealing with this crisis. Because in the United States, there are a few special features. One is that there is a free press that's made of Catholics and non-Catholics that has been much more active than the press almost anywhere else. And then the Catholic Church in the United States is a church that doesn't survive thanks to taxpayers' money, but it survives thanks to the effort and the sacrifices of lay Catholics. And this gives a different shape to the meaning of this crisis. So here, the crisis in this country, we have the impression that it's been a series of failures and that very little has changed. But if you look at other countries, actually, the Catholic Church in the United States can be seen as a model of a church that has developed effective policies, where there has been a real rise in the awareness of this crisis. So here, the parochialism that sometimes affects American Catholics should also change our perception, because if I compare what the U.S. Church has done with what the Italian Church has done, I think the Italian Church is 20 years late. And so we should take some comfort in the idea that it's a church that has shown signs of reactivity that other churches hasn't shown yet, because the crisis hasn't exploded yet, and we don't know if other churches will be able to meet the standards that were set by the West Church with the Dallas Charter almost 20 years ago.
Yeah, and I guess this does get into the idea of expectations, because if we are trying to think of a way that the church can come to a solution on a global scale, given the differences among countries and across the vast global church. I mean, the Dallas Charter isn't necessarily a model that can simply be picked up and applied in, say, some other country in the Southern Hemisphere, for instance, or in Europe, for that matter.
Well, you're right. So here, I believe that the global church will have to take a look at different models. One is the United States with the Dallas Charter. In my opinion, one example that should be looked at more carefully, because it's very interesting also for Catholics in this country, is the Australian model. Because there has been a national investigation, government mandated, and there has been a national response of the Bishop Conference and of all the religious orders of Australia to the recommendations issued by the government. And so this is something that shows that global Catholicism is dealing in different ways, also because of the different arrangements between church and state, different kinds of establishments. So here we are still in the middle of a learning process, because this is a global crisis and there are many factors that change how a national church responds to this. And I believe one of the problems is that now Catholic churches tend to be more parochial than once. I mean, paradoxically. So when we did not have the internet, we had more familiarity with the global Catholic experience. Now we are more interconnected, but we are less interested in what's happening beyond our borders. The abuse crisis could be a good way to, help us understand that we can learn from other churches.
That's an interesting thing to think about too, particularly because recently, well, not just recently, I've heard you speak about this before, but more recently you gave a presentation in Virginia where you reiterated your belief that the crisis, the sex abuse crisis, is the most serious the Catholic Church has faced since the Reformation. And I guess I just want to hear you express a little bit for the folks who are listening to what makes you say that?
Well, I think that this crisis has to do with a particular kind of crime, which is the sexual abuse of children, which is a very old crime. So in the legal texts, since the early centuries, it is present in these texts. What's new right now, and that's why I think it's a crisis within other crises, the most serious from the Reformation, is that you have this crisis that has to do with a series of issues that are theologically and from a disciplinary point of view unsolved or unaddressed. So one is the problem of sexuality and or homosexuality in the Catholic Church, which, if you want, is something that explodes in the late 60s, 68. But with this crisis, I believe we have the whole series of unsolved issues that are correctly or incorrectly connected to the case of abuse crisis. So there is a second level, which is a theological, rift within Christianity. And then there is a third level, which I believe makes this crisis echo a little bit the Reformation, that these Catholic crises or theological crises, they interact with a fracture that is geopolitical and it's political within the Christian world and the Catholic world, which is something that you don't have in these last four centuries, but you do have in the 16th century, because Martin Luther's Reformation is also a political crisis between Northern Europe, German-speaking Europe, non-Latin Europe, and Southern Europe, Southern Catholic Europe. Or goes back to the 15th century when you have that there is a Catholic sphere of influence that wants to assert its supremacy on other areas of the Catholic Church. And we have seen that in the summer of 2018, which was for the Catholic Church the equivalent of the Cuban Missile Crisis, we went very, very close to the point of no return in the explosion of Catholicism, because if more than 20 bishops say that the guy who wants the Pope to resign, that he's right, that is one step before a revolt in the Catholic Church's episcopate. So here, I'm not saying that this crisis is like the Reformation, but there are some elements that in their interacting together are producing something that I cannot find as an historian in the 19th century or the 18th century. It's one of these crises that say something on the difficulty of being a global Catholic Church.
Okay, and just to clarify for those listening, what you're referring to in the summer of 2018 was not just the Pennsylvania report, but the letter from the former papal nuncio to the United States, the Vigano letter.
Right. The Vigano letter was not worrying in itself. It was worrying what happened in the 2 weeks afterwards, when more than 24 bishops in the United States they took the side of the former nuncio, who had asked Pope Francis to resign, accusing him of being an accomplice of the abusers. That is something that we have never seen in these last 4 or 5 centuries.
So I think that that long-term historical context is useful and helpful. And I want to get back to the sort of the nearer term and the immediate with the meeting that is coming up in later this month in February. What do you think will come out of the meeting? And this is sort of a multi-part question. And if you just bear with me, I guess I want to hear your thoughts on what you think will come from the meeting. What will it say about Francis? And where does the church go from here? Where do ordinary Catholics, American and otherwise, American and Catholics around the world, where do we go from here?
So I think this meeting will say something on Francis in the sense that Francis thinks the church and the reform of the church with a long-term perspective. That begins always with a spiritual reform, a cultural reform, and only at the end of this is ready for institutional structure reforms. So if we expect from that meeting announcements about new tribunals or a list of people that have been excommunicated, this is not what we can see. What I believe is the interesting part of this meeting is that the Pope and those who work with him are concerned that the crisis will explode in countries where it hasn't exploded yet because there's no free press or because there is not that kind of freedom that allowed victims or witnesses to come forward. They are afraid that if it explodes in countries where so far the crisis has been kept under a lid, will be much more destructive than it has been in other countries. So what we have heard is that they want to create a common awareness, a common readiness in responding to this in churches, especially those where almost nothing has been done. So for us, it is perfectly normal for us to see our bishops to meet with victims of abuse. This is something that is not normal at all in many other countries. And so this will happen in Rome at the end of February. So I believe this will be a test for American Catholics because they will have to consider that the U.S. Church has more resources to deal with this crisis than other countries. So this meeting will be made mostly for countries that haven't experienced what the U.S. Church has gone through. So the U.S. Church has problems, especially in restoring the trust and the credibility of the U.S. bishops that simply cannot be solved by the Vatican in the short term. This is something that we should, I think, be aware of and be ready for something that will teach us as American Catholics something, but not directly on the abuse crisis, but on what the global church is in this crisis.
Massimo, it sounds like you're saying that we should keep our expectations low. Is that what I'm getting from this?
On the short term and for our internal problems, yes. I believe that if we are Catholics, we care for the state of the global church. So again, this crisis is something that has a national dimension and has international dimension. So I don't know how many priests come to minister to the United States every year. So if they solve that problem in their country, that will be indirectly something beneficial for our church. That's why there are so many connections that are not immediately visible, but in the end, it will affect us on the long term.
Massimo, thanks for being here today to take these questions.
Thank you. Thank you very much.